I want to read something for you from John chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Now, on the first day of the week, that would be Sunday, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark, and she saw the stone ready, taken away. Now, I want to just mention something. Women are bold. So where are all the men at? The men, you know, I got to tell you, the men were hiding. They were. Men want to act all tough, but when it comes time to it, it's the women that are stepping up, raising the family, raising the home. They're stepping up, loving Jesus. You know what I'm saying? So Mary Magdalene did not care that it would mean her life if she went to this tomb. She says, it's Sunday and I'm going to go see the Lord. And if that's you this morning, the devil tried to stop you this morning. It is Sunday, you told him, and I'm going to the house of God to see the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says, that's why you're going to be blessed this morning. Now let me go back to preaching. All right, So she ran, notice, she went to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and told all the disciples. She told Peter, who Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they laid him. So Peter and all the other disciples went forth and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciples ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stopping and looking, he saw the linen wrapping lying there. But he did not go in. And so Peter also came following him, but he entered the tomb. And he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloths which had been on his head now lying with the linen wrappings, rolled up in place by itself. So the other disciples who had first come to the tomb, they also entered, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary was standing outside the tomb. There is bad Mary again. Disciples went back home quick. But Mary stayed. She was weeping. And so she wept. She stopped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Some of you are crying for no reason. Some of you are crying over something that's not over. You're crying over something that hasn't been lost. Crying over something that will not die. Why then, God will ask this powerful question, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord and I don't know where they have laid him. And when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why?" There it is again. "Why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? Who are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Teacher." Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me. For I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord." Someone needs to hear that this morning. You're going to see the Lord. He's going to work. You're going to see the Lord. The first person to preach the gospel was Mary Magdalene. The first person Jesus said, "Now go and tell him I'm alive." That's the gospel. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, bless this word. as we talk about two people, Mary and Peter, the two people mentioned by name. Father, I trust you with this message. It is your message. You teach it through me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You give him a shout of praise. I'm going to preach today. Mary woke up one morning. It was Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, just like today. She wakes up Easter Sunday, but she did not wake up with joy. She did not wake up with happiness. She did not even wake up with great high expectations. She actually woke up with sorrow and pain and confusion as she got the oil ready and prepared to go anoint the dead body of Jesus, hoping to preserve it long enough for her to remember him. See, Mary went through such a terrible Friday, witnessing the crucifixion of Jesus, seeing everything go down. And by Sunday, all hope was gone for Mary. See, it shows me that we can go through such a severe trial on a Friday that it affects us today and it causes us to lose hope tomorrow. And many of you are stuck in what happened yesterday, that you're sorrowful today, and you live with no hope for tomorrow. Friday was so bad for Mary, and Saturday was so silent for Mary, that I can't even blame her for being sad on Easter Sunday. I can't blame her for having sorrow on a day she should have been worshiping and celebrating and praising God. And some of you, that's what your Easter Sunday looks like today. It's hard for you to worship. It's hard for you to praise because this Sunday on Easter, you're saying, it's not, I don't feel like celebrating. I don't feel like being positive. I don't feel like praising God because, Pastor, you don't know what my yesterday looks like. You don't know where I've gone from. You don't know what I've been through. So Mary went through such a severe Friday. She woke up Easter Sunday, hopeless. She was so hopeless and sorrowful because she was so committed to Jesus. She was a follower of Jesus Christ and one of the best followers. I know we focus on the 12, but Mary was just as committed as those 12 guys. Mary lived a life of sin, promiscuity. She wrecked a lot of marriages. She was the original homewrecker. Before there were housewives, there was Mary Magdalene, the original desperate housewife, Mary. She was all about money and power and pleasure. Until that day she was caught. Because sin will catch up to you. And she's thrown on the ground and all the guys, probably some of them she slept with, are now acting all holy and they're ready to stone her dead. And just when she thought it was over, Jesus comes in and restores her and says, I don't condemn you. And from that day forward, she says, this is my God. This is my Lord. I will follow you. With a bad reputation, she followed Jesus. With the sin of her past, she committed to Jesus. Why? Because the worst sinners make the best followers of Jesus. And if that's you this morning, I envy you. Because that only means that when you get serious with God, you're going to be one of the best Christians in the church. Because you know you don't deserve mercy. You know you don't deserve grace. And Mary Magdalene was picked up from her sin. And as she followed Jesus, she committed her life to him. She gave so much for him. And what many people don't even know is part of the reason Jesus' ministry was successful was because of Mary Magdalene. The Bible says she was one of the contributors financially. She gave money. The reason they were able to rent hotels and eat and fund their ministry was because of bad Mary. She was the boss. She wrote the checks. She loved the Lord. I understood now why she was filled with so much sorrow. Because she invested so much into Jesus. And now he's dead. And she never imagined that she would be in the graveyard. On that garden tomb, that she never imagined she'd be in that grave site. And it seemed like everything she worked for, everything she invested in, everything she pushed for in Jesus has now ended. Do you know that pain of giving your all to something? Giving your all to someone only to have it fail? Only to have it die on you? You put so much effort into a relationship and it's over. You put so much time into a marriage and you still get divorced. You put so much into raising your kids and when they're old enough, they no longer call you anymore. You put so much into your health and you still get cancer. So much into your dreams, so much into your passions, and that it still ends. What do? When you've invested so much into something and it dies. Do you understand now why Mary was sorrowful on Easter Sunday? Because for 3 years she said, I gave it all to him. I gave my time, my heart, my money, my pain, my passion into this Jesus, into this ministry, and he's dead. Now what? Now what's my purpose? Now what do I live for? It's over. So you understand what it is to make a full investment with a terrible return. Amen? But what do? When that investment is God. I'm not talking about your job now, your family now, your relationship now. I'm talking about what do when you stepped out in faith and you followed Jesus Christ and you were committed to him and he died on you. And it looks like he left you. And it looks like he just abandoned you. What do when it's God? When it's Jesus that you just committed your life to and nothing has worked out and it's only gotten worse since then. What do when God disappoints you? When you surrendered and you followed him, believing that things were gonna get better, but they actually got worse. See, that graveyard to me represents for you places you thought you'd never be in. Situations you never imagined for yourself. Places you thought you'd never experience. You'd never be in. The graveyard could be anything that you'd look at and say, I never thought I'd be here. It makes no sense. God, I gave you everything and I'm in a graveyard. And I can't see you. It's interesting that Jesus was right there the whole time, but she couldn't see him. Because I know the Lord is always present, but I don't always see him. He's an omniscient God, omnipresent God. He knows all, he sees all, he is everywhere at once, but that doesn't always mean I see him everywhere. You don't see God in the struggle. You don't see God in the sickness. You don't see God when you lose a loved one. I know you don't see God. I know He's with me. I know He's here, but I don't see Him. Mary did not see Him, but it never stopped the fact that Jesus was there. And I'm telling someone this morning, you may be in a place you don't see Him right now, but it's the truth. He is there. He is working. He knows what He's doing. And just because I don't see Him doesn't make it true that He is gone. I hate graveyards, but they're necessary. Does it ever feel like God has failed you? The first Easter weekend looked like a total failure. There are so many people that say, I gave everything to God. You're mad at God today. Because I trusted Him. I gave Him everything. And He still took this from me. He wasn't there when I needed Him most. Yes, He was. You just couldn't see Him. You see what happened with Mary. Because Jesus often told her and everyone, I'm going to die and I'm going to come back. I'm going to die, but I will rise. I will die. It is written, but I will rise. Every moment He reminded them, this is going to happen. But they forgot, because it's in those moments of suffering we forget the promises of God. And I know it feels like God has failed you, but you have just failed to remember His promises. God hasn't failed you. You failed. I failed to just remember that His word stands above my circumstances. What happened with Mary on that Easter Sunday? Verse 1 and 2. Let me explain. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark, and she saw the stone already taken away. So there it is. She sees the tomb. It's empty. The stone has been removed. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and all the disciples, and she believed a lie. She said, they have taken the body. She should have seen it as a resurrection, but she saw it as a crime scene. She should have seen it as a resurrection, but she saw it as a theft. And what should have been the greatest moment of her life turned out to be the worst, listen, because of wrong perception. And what should have been the best day of your life, what should have been a moment for you to praise God and worship Him and praise Him and celebrate, what should have been a moment of joy and peace for you turned into sorrow because you have the wrong perception about your life. You have the wrong perception about yourself. Maybe you have the wrong perception about God, but perception is powerful. Perception will convince you of what is not there. There is such power in perception. See, when you see wrong, you begin to feel wrong. And when you feel wrong, you begin to act wrong. And when you act wrong, you begin to speak wrong. And then everything around you looks wrong because you're wrong. Perception. Fix your eyes. Perception. Notice how Mary spoke. They took the body. How are you speaking today? How's your conversation with others? I wonder how many wrong assumptions are you living under that has just robbed you of your praise and worship to God. God deserves the highest praise, but you can't give it to Him because you have the wrong perception of Him. 2 Corinthians 5:7, God makes it clear. We live by faith, We walk by faith, not by what? Sight. Notice something about this verse. It doesn't say we walk by faith and by sight. Why? Because you can't do it both ways. You can't do it. You can't say, I have faith, but I also have my sight. I'm going to trust in the external. That's what that word sight means in the Greek. It literally means the external things. So I'm just going to trust in what I see, but I'm also going to have faith. And God says, you can't do both. Which one is it? Are you going to live by the external things you see? Or are you going to walk by faith in what you don't see? When you walk by faith, you believe even when you don't see. But see, Mary made a fatal mistake that I often make, and I know you make. She chose wrong. She chose to believe the external. She saw an empty tomb, and the devil said to her, you know they stole him. She didn't stop to pray. She didn't stop to experience this thing and say, man, I wonder what happened here. She didn't ask around. She just was quick to jump into assumptions. That's your problem. You see something and already you've already made a verdict. You get bad news. You see something wrong. And you lose it. Mary was operating in the external. And that's why she could not worship and praise and enjoy her Easter Sunday. And maybe that's why this Easter Sunday you have lost your joy and your peace and your worship to God, because the devil has your thoughts twisted in a lie and you're only believing in what you see and you're not believing in the faith that God wants you to have in Him. It's not over. So you either make your perception your reality, or the Word of God and His promises your reality. But you can't do both. So what is your reality today? Is it what I see? If I see it, I believe it. If you see it and you believe it, you're also foolish. Doesn't work that way. What's your reality? Is it by what you see, or do you make reality this? Word of God. I don't care what they tell me. I don't care what I go through. I don't care what I see. I don't care what I don't see. When I stand on this, this is my reality, and I keep moving forward, and I keep pressing on, and I keep believing for more. Why? Because I don't have to see it to believe it, because I know it has already been written. And I believe in the Word of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. So Mary makes this awful perception. And maybe you today. I wonder this morning if I have a Mary in the house. You've experienced such a terrible past, such a terrible Friday, that now it has altered your perception of Sunday. And you have lived your life now in bitterness and sadness and negative thinking and speaking and feeling, and you're just bringing everyone down. Because notice, she could have gone to her disciples and say, oh, he's risen, but what did she do? Because of wrong perception, she brought everyone down with her. Is that you today? Because you know, sad people can't do it alone. Can I get a witness? Hey, Mary, where's Mary at? Mary is that girl in Starbucks that has to bring the whole Starbucks down in conversation. Mary is the one that tells everyone the negative, the critical, the faults. Mary sees the wrong in everything. And Mary forgets about the promises of God. And that's what the devil loves to do. The devil wants you to live like Mary. He wants you to live with such a false perception of your life and a false perception of yourself and a false perception about God, because He knows if I can just get her to see wrong, I can get her to feel wrong. And when she feels wrong, she's going to live wrong. And she lost her joy, she lost her peace, and she's walking all over Sunday, Easter morning with oil that was only used for dead body. And that's you this morning. You're just walking through life as though everything is dead. And you're mourning. Verse 18 is where it all turns around. See, not only does Mary have the wrong perception, she begins to accuse the wrong person. That's what wrong perception does. It gets you to see wrong in others, that they're not wrong. She confused Jesus for a gardener. Jesus is standing there, and she's like, "Where'd you take him? I know you did it. If you did, I'll go get it back." And Jesus is like, "Girl, it's me. Calm down." You see, sometimes your life can be so chaotic, you can't even recognize God anymore. How does someone forget what Jesus looked like when you walked with Him for years? Because you're in a place where you're just looking at everything so negative and wrong that it's hard to recognize the goodness of God. That's why the disciples in the storm, they thought Jesus was a ghost. That word ghost in the Greek literally means devil. Why? Because in the midst of chaos, you don't recognize God. That's why Mary, in the midst of all her struggle, she couldn't recognize Jesus. And it makes sense now for me today to tell you, this is why in your mess of your life and everything that's going on in your life, it's hard for you to recognize God anymore. But God wants you to know right now, I'm here. Your perception is wrong. You're here this morning on this Easter Sunday. And it might be that you're looking at God all wrong. And Jesus is looking at you right now and He says, "You thought I was gone. You thought I wasn't around. But I never left. I've been here the whole time, Mary. I never left." And someone here today, you thought God abandoned you. You thought God left you on Friday. But He will stand with you all the way till Sunday. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you, because He is God and He won't do that. I love a God that says, even when you don't see me, I'm there. You didn't see me in the cancer. You didn't see me when your loved one died. You don't see me when your kids are rebelling. You didn't see me when you lost your job. You didn't see me in the worst time of your life, but I was there. It was just your perception, Mary, that needed to change. You didn't see me. But that never stopped the fact that I never left you. I've been here. Verse 18. Mary runs to see the boys who are hiding like cowards. And that's why she got the greater experience with Jesus, because if you don't cower out, God's going to bless you. Because some of you are like those disciples, you love Jesus and you're committed, but you're always hiding. And wondering why that person gets to experience God more. Because that person will truly give everything for Jesus. But you'll only give everything to Him if it's safe enough. But I'm not going to go there. That's next Easter. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and announcing to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. I've seen God. And I promise someone here today, I promise you. I know that Friday was bad. Your past was horrific. There were seasons you didn't see God working. There were times like Mary, you just did not understand. And maybe you have forgotten the promises of God because you're living by sight. We've all been there. But there will come a time that you will look back at your life and you will realize how many wasted tears you shed. How many nights of fear and anxiety you wasted. Your life on fear. You wasted your life with anxiety. You've wasted your life with depression. You've wasted your life with worry. You've cried for nothing because Mary had to realize all this time, you mean to tell me you were here and all this time I could have been worshiping you, I could have been praising the God of the resurrection, but I was just down thinking you were dead and gone. And I wasted all this precious time being negative? Is that you this morning? Are you wasting this precious time you have left on life? Crying and mourning and being negative and critical when you should be worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the God of Resurrection because He is with you today. And He's saying, why are you weeping? Why? Easter isn't for crying. Cry on Friday, yeah. But don't cry when I'm there and I've come through. Stop wasting your time on what's not going to happen to you. Stop calling something dead that God is about to raise. And live with the faith that God's word will stand over any external issue you're going through right now. And your perception may be wrong, but your God isn't. And not even death could stop Him. And what God says He's gonna do, He will do. And when Jesus said, I'll be back, before Arnold said it, Jesus said it. Come on now. So I wonder, not only do I pray and say, Lord, do I have Marys in the house? And God said, yeah, one of them, it's you. I said, okay, not besides me, God, come on. Don't be Mary. Don't waste your time that God has given you in this life. Down and discouraged. That's for people that don't have Jesus. But if you do have Him, and I'll explain how you can get Him if you don't. Every day should be a resurrection day. Every day should be a reason that your perception says, I'll get through this. I'll overcome this because the power of the resurrection is living inside me. And then I kept reading and I said, wait a minute. I think that, Lord, I'm not just Mary, I think I'm Peter. Because I said I want to mention two people. Can I talk about Peter for a minute? Peter was not athletic. The Bible says in verse 3, Peter and all the disciples went forth and started to run. Y'all remember those mile runs in high school, middle school? Which guy were you? Were you the sprinter, the jackal, the cheetah? Or were you the sloth or the turtle? Who's the cheetah? Show me cheetah. Cheetahs? Anyone? Cheetah? Who's the turtle? Who didn't show up that day? Man. Peter, he meant well when Mary said, "He's gone." Maybe Peter, I believe that Peter might have thought, maybe he was right. Maybe this was the resurrection. So Peter just took off running. But the Bible says the other disciples caught up to him and passed him and left him. And the Lord spoke to me there. Because see, some of you are off to a great start. Love Jesus. Life is good. But then you got tired. Then you felt the weariness. And then you started to slow down. Who am I preaching to today? Someone here, you were off to a good start, but now your relationship with God has slowed down. And you know what happens when you slow down? You begin to see other people faster than you and better than you. And you begin to see people in a place you should have been in. Isn't that the worst? I got a word for you this morning. See, with Jesus, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And some of you are off to a good start and maybe you slowed down. Maybe you were off to a bad start and now you're even slower. I don't know how that looks like, but that's you. And I know you're tired and you started off running and now you're just, "I don't think I can make it." And then John goes, "Hey, Peter." Andrew comes, "Later, Peter." And Peter's like, "Guys, wait! Wait!" And even Doubting Thomas, little Tommy. Peter's just like, "I gotta make it. I gotta make it." He's probably just walking now. Alone. Because you know, sometimes this life you walk alone and people leave you behind and you're tired and you're just thinking, "I just need to make it. Oh God, I just need to keep going." And Peter finally arrives because God is not with the stopwatch saying, "You should have been quicker with this. You should have given up this sin a long time ago. You should have been like Susie by now, like Tommy by now. You should have been like the other guys by now. Peter, you're so slow." Some of you, you're slow in walking with Jesus. But are you going to get there? Are you going to get there? So stop looking at who's faster, who's better, and say, "I'm going to arrive. I may be the last one in heaven, but I'll be in heaven." Come on now. And Peter arrives, and everyone's just there. And he's all sweating, clothes half gone, looking like a wreck on Easter. How many of you look like a wreck on Easter? I'm not talking about physically. Y'all look good physically. I'm talking about emotionally. You're a wreck. But see, you know what I love about Peter? He arrives, but he did something that the other cheetahs didn't do. He was the first one to go in the tomb. That's why the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "Tell someone in this church, you're going to more than just arrive." Because when Peter arrived, he did more. Not only are you going to make it, God's going to do more than you imagine. God's going to do more than you're believing for. Not only are you going to match what others are doing, you're going to do more than others are doing. And then they followed him. One day, you're going to be the follower, but then another day, you're going to be the one being followed. You're going to be the leader. You're going to be the one people look up to. So I tell you right now in Jesus' name, you may be tired. You may feel like you're never going to arrive. But not only are you going to arrive, you're going to more than arrive. So if I have a Mary in the house, start living by faith and not by sight. If I have Peter in this house and you're saying, I'm tired, my question is, I don't care how long it takes you to arrive, will you get there? There's a lot of people that will be in heaven that are slow. It took them a long time. Maybe it's taken you years to find Jesus. Maybe it's taking you a long time to change. But my prayer for you this morning is that you would give Jesus a chance with your life. Because the same power that rose Jesus from the dead wants to live inside you. But you cannot do this on your own. On this day, we celebrate the resurrection, but we also remember what happened 2 days prior. He died on the cross for your sins. And maybe you've abandoned God because you felt as though He abandoned you. But like Mary, you're going to realize He never left you. And God is here right now, calling you. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, this Easter, I want to pray for specific groups here today. I'm asking you to stand to your feet. If it's you, don't be ashamed. But if you're here this morning and you are off to a good start with Jesus, but somewhere down the line you got tired, you got distracted, you slowed down, practically stopped following Jesus. But today the Lord is pushing you, saying, I want to run with you again. I want you to arrive. I have plans for you. I have a destiny for you, but you'll never arrive if you stop running. And I'm going to tell someone today that the Lord is telling me to tell you, you got to keep running because you will make it. You will arrive, but you will not arrive on your own. And it is you this morning. I want you to stand to your feet and you're saying, Pastor, I'm going to start running the race again with God. Come on now. God bless you. God bless you. If you slow down, it's okay. I'd rather you be slow and in heaven than fast and in hell. If you're here this morning and today you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, He died on the cross for your sins. For you, He had you in mind. And today you're saying, I'm not sure if I can trust Him. What else has worked for you in your life? God has never abandoned you. And I'm telling you today, like Mary, the worst sinners, you might think you're the worst sinner. That's why I declare you're going to be the best follower. Because the Lord loves the foolish people, He says. Because He shames the wise. So no matter how foolish you've been in your life or how sinful, you can find grace and forgiveness today in Jesus Christ. You just need to take a stand for Him today. You stand to your feet right now and say, Pastor, I'm giving my life to Jesus today. God bless you. God bless you. Take that stand. And lastly, if you're here today and you love Jesus, you're following Jesus, but the Holy Spirit just impressed on you today, your perception of me is wrong. If you've lost your joy, if you've lost your peace, if you've lost your worship, and you know it's that you have the wrong perception of your life. Maybe you're a critical person, a negative person. You're bringing others down. You should be praising Him on Sunday, but you're still living like it's Friday. You're down all the time. You're sad all the time. I feel depression in the room, and I feel anxiety in the room. I feel a spirit of discouragement in the room in your life. Today, the Lord wants to cleanse you of that. He wants to release that in you. Today, because your perception has been wrong. And if that's you today, you stand right now and say, Pastor, I'm standing because I need to see with faith now and no longer the external. God bless you. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's pray today. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this Resurrection Sunday. Father, I know that like Mary, it's Sunday, but we're not living like it is. We're not worshiping like it is. We're not living like you rose. We're living like you're still dead. And many here and many online, Father, they just see in the external that it all looks hopeless and gone. And there are many here who don't see you anymore. But I pray that at the very end, like Mary, they will look back and say, that was him all along. I have seen the Lord, because we know and declare we will see you in our darkest time. Father, if I have Peters in the house that started great, but now they have slowed down and they're tired and they're not even sure if they can arrive, I pray that you would give them a supernatural grace to keep running. Not only to arrive, but to more than arrive. To do more than what they expected of their life, Lord. And I pray that you surprise them. Surprise them with the unimaginable, as Ephesians 3:20 says, Lord. We declare that you are able to do far more than we can imagine. So I pray for all the slow Peters here to keep running, keep pushing. You will arrive in Jesus' name. And if you're here this morning, Father, I lift up those that want to receive you as Lord and Savior. If this is you today, I want you to keep that hand up. Say, Pastor, that's me. I want to receive the Lord. If you're listening online, I want to lead you in this prayer today. Just say, Lord Jesus, I need you. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. And today, I surrender to you. I know you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe you resurrected. I believe you are God, and you are who you say you are. And it's for that reason that today I ask you, according to your grace, to receive me in Jesus' name. Give him a shout of praise today if this is you. Come on. Do you guys believe that not only are you going to arrive, but you are going to do more than just survive? You declare it today. You give him a shout of praise today. I know. God bless you guys. I believe that this one was for our church. It doesn't matter how we start. What's important is that how we finish. And with God, we're going to finish pretty good. Do you believe that today?